Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. As we look in Matthew chapter 6 tonight for a few minutes, I want to remind everybody again about our prayer list. If you haven't got one yet, I encourage you to grab one. They're outside of either entrance church. There's still a lot of needs that we need to keep in prayer. A lot of people who are still sick, who are still recovering, who are still hurting and in need of healing. And so, church, tonight, I want to encourage you to sometimes it seems like it just kind of keeps coming, doesn't it? But I'm going to encourage you tonight, church, not to grow weary in well-doing, especially those of us who've been shown grace by others now have an opportunity to turn around and show grace to others as well, to comfort others with that same grace wherewith we have been comforted. And so, church, don't grow weary in well-doing. Let us continue to love one another, to reach out to one another, to pray for one another, and honor the Lord in those things. As we consider Matthew chapter 6 tonight, I want to remind us, and I thought it was important that we read the context of where we've been to where we are, because King Jesus has been dealing with our secret life before him for over a year now, right at a year. We have been going expositionally, verse by verse, through the Sermon on the Mount, trying to understand what King Jesus would have us to know about true righteousness. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. It's about true righteousness. And as Brother Frank read, King Jesus in this chapter here, he's talked to us about our secret giving. He's talked to us about our secret praying. He's talked to us about our secret fasting. For 19 verses, King Jesus shows us how important it is to have a right relationship with him, and how that right relationship with him is first and foremost a private thing between you, between him. The reality is if the highlight of your spiritual life happens at 1022 South Main Street, then you've really missed what the spiritual life is all about. The foundation, the primary emphasis is on worship. And that private worship that we do from our heart to the Lord. And King Jesus puts this emphasis on worship and not work, because the truth is that we need to know him better before we can better make him known. But now that Jesus has established our private worship, he begins to move on to teach about some of our public ways, how it manifests itself outwardly. And so tonight, we are moved in these three verses to examine our true values as King Jesus asks us to measure your treasure. Look with me at verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal." Let me start by explaining first the picture of passions that Jesus gives. Here he's talking about treasures. I want to explain what he's talking about when he talks about treasures. Treasures are simply this: they are things valued. Treasures are precious things. Biblically, this word is used for a variety of different things. It's used to describe the material things that the wise men brought to baby Jesus. You look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible describes it this way: "And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And so the Bible here uses treasures in regards to physical, earthly, material things. Later in the book of 2 Corinthians, we see the Apostle Peter use the same word, treasure, to refer to the gospel and the glory of Almighty God. Beginning in verse 6 of chapter number 4, he said, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." So whether it's a material thing, whether it's a spiritual thing, whether it's a tangible thing, or whether it's even a concept, treasures are things that are valued, things that are precious. And you know, as we consider our treasures, you know, there are possessions that we treasure, that we place great value on. Whether it be clothing, whether it be material, whether it be money, whether it be a house, or whether it be some other commodity, there are possessions that we treasure, that we put value on. Think about people. We often treasure people, don't we? We place great value. We consider very precious the relationships that we have with others. You know, I thought about this too. Even not just possessions, not just people, but even possibilities, dreams and desires that we have. You know, we have dreams. We have things that we would like to do, things that we would like to accomplish, places that we would like to go, people even we would like to become. And we consider the possibilities that are out there, and many times those are precious. We place value on those things. And so understanding what Jesus is talking about when he uses this word treasure, it's a very broad word to refer to the things that we value. Whether you are a parent and you are putting great value on the precious life of a child. Whether you're a student and you place great value on the grades that you desire to get, or the basketball championship you desire to win. Whether you're a worker and you've placed great value on reaching a certain place financially, treasures are those things, those people, those possibilities that we place value on. Can I express secondly, when we consider the picture of passions, that treasures are also encouraged. You know what we don't see here in verses 19 and 20? Jesus say, don't have treasure. Don't value, don't prize, don't put worth on things. Jesus is not teaching against treasure. Nor is he even teaching against treasuring things for yourselves. I mean, you see what he says in verse number 20. He says, but lay up for... Come on, we might be fewer tonight, but we can still be strong. Lay up for yourselves treasures. And so Jesus is not teaching against treasures. Jesus is not even teaching against treasuring things for yourself. You know, there is that line of thinking that runs in some aspects of Christianity where people put great value on the fact that they don't put great value on anything. You know, it's almost like a poverty gospel. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. To understand Jesus is not teaching against treasure, that austerity is not spirituality. But the Bible does teach in the book of Timothy that God has given us freely or richly all things to enjoy. The Bible does teach, as the psalmist expresses in Psalm 68 and verse number 19, that blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Jesus is not teaching against treasure. What Jesus is teaching is to measure what you treasure, because not all treasure is created equal. Let me show you a verse in the book of Isaiah that really illustrates this. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2, where the scripture says, ho to everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Look what he says in verse number 2. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in the fatness. You know what that indicates? You know what that teaches us? That not everything that people put value on is really valuable. Not everything that people run after really satisfies. You know, there are a lot of people who drink from a world, but never find their thirst satisfied. And so Jesus here is teaching to measure what you treasure. You know, we all treasure something, but not all treasures satisfy. And the admonition for you and I as Christians from the start is, number one, we got to understand this. We need to value what is valuable. We need to value what is valuable. As Paul wrote in Corinthians, or Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2, that we set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I'm going to tell you what, church, this old world is an expert at making garbage look good. You seen the McDonald's commercial lately? I mean, the devil's got this advertising thing down pat. And the devil will promise you a good time. The devil will promise you fulfillment. This old world will tell you that it's got everything your heart could desire. But I'm going to tell you, not everything that people value is valuable. A picture of passions. Understand, Christian, God is not against treasure. He just wants us to treasure the right things. Not only do we see here a picture of passions, but look with me at verses 19 and 20 again. I want you to notice the content. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Not only does Jesus give us a picture of passions here, but we also see the priority on placement. When it comes to treasure, the issue is not just a question of what it is, but where it is. And the Lord Jesus Christ deals with two places here, two types of investment, if you will. As we take the treasure, the things that we find precious, the place that we place value on, Jesus here indicates two types of investments that we can make with our treasure. The first, in verse number 19, is an earthly investment. If we lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth. And I want you to see very clearly what Jesus says about it. He says, don't do it. There is a direct prohibition in Scripture here where Jesus says, don't do it. Don't do it. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. There is a direct prohibition because everything that is invested in the earth, all of our earthly investments are destined to perish. It won't last. It won't last. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs chapter number 23, verses 4 and 5. I want you to see what it says here. It says, labor not to be rich. Can I ask you? Why does the world go to work? Be rich. Why does the world go to work? A little bit more. Labor not to be rich, the writer of Proverbs says. Seek from thine own wisdom. Look at his reasoning. He says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. In other words, doesn't last. Why would we, children of his eternal kingdom, invest what we value as precious in such a way that it is destined to perish. Jesus says, don't do it. The moth will eat the clothes. The rust will eat and gnaw and consume the metals. The thief, here is a picture of a mud digger, somebody who's digging into the side and it'll carry it away. And the reality is, everything about this earth and everything invested into this earth is destined to perish, even power and prestige. You think of even, for instance, presidents of the United States, men who maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago were the most powerful men in the entire world, are now relegated to publishing a memoir every couple of years. Because even power and prestige are destined to perish. None of it's going to last. You know, God has given us this life and life abundant, and God has daily loaded us with benefits, and God has richly given us all these things to enjoy, and God has blessed us. But church, when I'm looking to make an investment in what really matters, I'm not looking to make it here, because it's all going to fade. It's all going to break. It's all going to burn. Destined to perish. And so King Jesus here reminds us the priority on placement, that we take those things that we value and that we do not make an earthly investment, that we make an eternal investment. Verse number 20 very clearly says, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. That we take those precious things and we invest them in eternity. You know, someone has wisely said that the only thing we can take with us when we die is that which we have sent on before us while we live. How do we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven? Let me tell you, number one, make sure you're saved. Make sure you are saved. The salvation that Jesus Christ offers is not a hope so, think so, maybe so, might so. It is a know so salvation. These things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. How do I invest? How do I invest eternally? I'm going to tell you, there's nothing you have more precious than your soul. Jesus asked the question, what would a man give if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? There's nothing more precious you have than your soul. And tonight, I hope that you know, I hope that you know, I hope that you know, I hope that you know deep down that Jesus Christ has saved your soul. And I'm going to tell you what, if that's the case, the Bible says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. I'm going to tell you what, that sounds like a pretty good investment to me. Tonight, how do you make an eternal investment? Number one, make sure that you are saved. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that the Bible says that now, today is the day of salvation. And there is no better way to end this day than for you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal investments. How do we send things before us while we live? Number one, saved. Number two, surrender. Surrender. Lay down your treasure at the Lord's disposal. And that's everything. That's everything I value. You know what? That is my financial treasure. And all of the monies that God has entrusted into my care, that is my relationships, whether it's my marriage or my kids, whether it's the people I'm friends with, the church I'm privileged to be a part of, all of those things that are precious to me, my time and my talents, I surrender them. I surrender them to God. I surrender them to God. Be used at the Lord's disposal. You know what you find? You find that when you're surrendered, you find yourself in the King's service. That the King will take your treasure, and that the King will apply what you value to the increase of His kingdom. I'm going to tell you, the most marvelous opportunity we have in this world for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ is the privilege to apply our earthly treasure to His eternal kingdom. To take what is destined to fade and what is destined to burn and what is destined to die and what is destined to break and to put it into the hands of He who died and lives again and to apply it to His kingdom that never shall end. And we take it, we get to make that investment. To take our money, which is going to fade, it's going to burn, or we're going to leave it and somebody else is going to waste it. And to apply it to the increase of His kingdom. You know what I'm going to tell you tonight as we begin 2021? I have been beyond blessed at the reality that though we have had many burdens and I have had many unique challenges as pastor over the last year, one of the challenges I have not had to face is how are we going to pay bills? I have not had that challenge, and I am so grateful to the Lord and so grateful to a church family who so faithfully gives. But I want to challenge tonight, because you know what? There are some who are struggling with whether or not you can trust God with your finances. Tonight, you're wondering whether or not you can trust God to bridge the gap in these uncertain times. There are some tonight who have desired to be faithful to give to the things of God, to be faithful to give to God's kingdom as God has been faithful to bless us. In your heart, you have desired, but you have never gone beyond good intentions. Tonight, I want to encourage you, take that earthly possession and lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I promise you God will be faithful. I promise you God will be faithful. And I wonder tonight who would say, you know what? It's a privilege to take that which is destined to burn and to place it in that which is destined to never end. You know, I think about tonight, not just our money, but some of our relationships. As a parent, I think often of my kids. You know, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and those of us who've got the opportunity and the privilege to be an influence over the next generation. You know, this life and these relationships that we have been given are destined to one day end on this side of eternity. I'm going to tell you, everything of this world fades and ends. But I wonder. You know, Brother Charles made a statement when he was preaching. I forget which service. They all, you know, these days all kind of run together for me still. But he made the statement that one of his heart's desires as a parent was not that his kids would have everything that he didn't, but that his kids would know those things that he wished he had known. And I thought, what a profound thought. What a spiritual investment. that our kids grow up knowing the love of God, experiencing the love of God modeled in their moms and dads, being shown how to study the Word of God and how to live the Word of God and how to share the Word of God and being shown how to grow in Christ. I thought, what a marvelous thought that we could take this brief moment that we have that's destined to end and we can do something with it that will affect all of eternity. I think about the talents that God has given us, the platform, the influence God has given us, that we lay it at the feet of Jesus, that we allow Jesus to pick it up and use it as He sees fit. The priority on placement. Jesus says no to earthly investments. Jesus says yes, yes, yes to eternal investments. I want you to see this last thought here, verse number 21. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, where those things you value are, where those things you consider precious are. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want you to consider tonight not just the picture of passions, not just the priority on placement, but I want you to see finally the principle of possession. You understand tonight that there is a pursuit taking place for your heart. There is a pursuit taking place for your heart. Your heart and your affections are being sought by opposing forces. God wants your heart. So does this world. You understand that tonight? Now, there is a battle taking place for your heart. God wants your heart. But so does this world. You know, Jesus reminds us of this battle here. Luke chapter 16, we see specifically the struggle that takes place in the heart of man when it comes to God and money. Jesus says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. He said, if therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon with the money, material goods God has blessed you with, if you haven't been faithful in stuff, who will commit to your trust true riches? Verse number 12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Verse number 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't live for the world and for the king. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. And if you think you are, the only person you fooled is yourself. You cannot do it. 1 John chapter number 2, verses 15 and 16, in a similar vein, we're admonished to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't love God and the world. We can't do it. James chapter 4 and verse number 4, one of the most graphic passages to illustrate this truth. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You cannot live for this earth and live for eternity. You cannot live for money and stuff and live for Jesus. Can I put it this way? You can't be equally committed to your standard of living and living for the Savior. Your heart and your affection are being sought by opposing forces. There is a pursuit that is taking place for the heart of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. But I want you to see what Jesus says here in verse number 21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In other words, that which possesses your treasure will possess your heart. And you know, this is something that we don't often recognize as Christians. It's so often we feel, oh yes, there's this pursuit for our heart, and there's God, and there's the world, and ladies and gentlemen, Jesus here offers us a path. He offers us, if you would, a way to program your heart. You can use this to get your heart to go where you want it to go. You can, the Bible says, where your treasure is. Let me ask you, where is your treasure? Well, Jesus just instructed us in what to do with our treasure. Not to lay it up on earth, but to lay it up in heaven. In other words, you choose. You get to choose where your treasure is. You choose. You can choose to purposefully invest your treasure. And the Bible says your heart will follow. In other words, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. You know what? So you're saying, you know what? I'm really struggling in church, preacher. I'm not really feeling it. I'm just not really feeling like it's speaking to me. Hey, can I encourage you? Why don't you put some treasure in it? Why don't you put some treasure in it? Why don't you come up here one or two afternoons a week and volunteer for a couple hours? You know what? I've never had seen somebody come and volunteer on a regular basis and not grow their heart for the ministry. You know, preacher, I don't really get this missions thing. Put a little treasure in it. You know, I've never known somebody who really invested in missions. Who are on their way through missions updates. Because where your treasure is, heart will follow. You know, this principle really works pretty well. You think of marriage, for instance. I don't know. Marriage isn't what it used to be. I can guarantee you ain't putting in what you used to. How about you put a little treasure in it? Maybe, just maybe, the heart will follow. Principle of possession. Let me ask you tonight, who holds your heart? Does this world, with all of its glitter and all of its glitz and glam, does this world hold your heart? Or does the kingdom of heaven hold your heart? Does King Jesus hold your heart? You know, there are a lot of people who God has blessed with talents and skills. And you know, there are a lot of Christians who will spend 40, 50, 60 hours a week building the economy, but struggle to find time to help build the kingdom. Where your treasure is. So let me ask you tonight, let's take an inventory. What is it? What is it that you treasure? I mean, honestly, deeply, sincerely tonight, what is it that you value? What is it that you consider precious? What are those things? Who are those people? What are those dreams and possibilities that, you know what, in your heart you hold of great price? What do you treasure? Can I ask you tonight, Christian, when you measure what you treasure, does the true value of that correspond with the worth that you place on it? I ask us this in closing. As Jesus admonishes us to lay not up for ourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. And where our treasure is, he said, there will our heart be also. You know, so many of us tonight, we wonder what would happen if, boy, wouldn't it be nice if God just really got a hold of our hearts? Wouldn't it be nice if God just really moved in my life? Hey, instead of waiting for God to move, maybe tonight, we could make the move. And we could lay all our treasure at his feet. And I bet you, if we did that, our heart would follow. Measure.